The question was asked that the 12 tribes have different customs. So the Magen Avraham in the Laws of Prayer quotes an Arizal that says that there were 12 different versions of davening. The Magen Avraham, the question was asked that the 12 tribes have 12 different customs. And the Magen Avraham quotes an Arizal that there were 12 different versions of prayer. We know today we have Sfard, Ashkenaz, Ari, right? So we know of maybe 5 different versions with the slight nuances. The Arizal says there are 13 gates to heaven. 12, one for each tribe. And then another one that's the Kolel, the all-encompassing one. Should I go on a tangent on this one?
Yes, please.
Yes, go on a tangent? Okay, so, yes, sir.
When it talks about the Adani guy that got kicked out, and he had this concern that the rabbi was like, well, that's not what I guess that's living, because it's essentially if you show up at an animal and you don't make a blessing, it's not good. And the rabbi didn't accept that, they said, well.
What are you trying to say?
I guess it differs, but how much does it differ?
That's his question. We'll get there. His question is, are there different customs? Your tea has come. Thank you, Binny. So, you guys wanted a tangent. So, on this point, the Arizal says, there's one version of prayer that's all-encompassing. There's the 13th gate that encompasses all 12. Every person from their tribe had a tradition on how they do things. It's fascinating how much we have tradition. I'll give you a small example, okay? It just struck me today. I didn't remember. I learned this once, but either I didn't notice or I didn't remember, I don't know. But it says in Kabbalistic sources, quoted in the Mishnah Brura, that when you give out bread, so you dip the bread in salt, in Kabbalistic sources it says you should dip 3 times. I always dip 3 times. And I never even noticed I was doing it. I guess that's what I saw at home. I never even paid attention that I did this before I passed on the bread. I always used to think of it as I'm dipping it in and then I'm shaking it off. So it shouldn't be too salty on the kids. Okay, I once noticed I was doing this and I was wondering, why do I do it? And I didn't even know. I sat there thinking, is it necessary? And I couldn't think of why I was doing it. I just ignored it. You know, I shouldn't be too OCD, yes. Why did I dip it 3 times? But then I came across it today in Halacha, and I said, wow, I never even noticed that I picked that up from my father. And I'm not sure he noticed that he picked it up from his father. When we got married, so we're married, and after a few weeks, we finally got a Shabbos alone at home. So we wash our hands, and comes time to make hamotzi. So I'm about to make hamotzi and take off the challah cover to make hamotzi. And then I said to myself, that's not what it says in Halacha. It doesn't say you should take off the challah cover. On the contrary, there are sources that say leave the challah cover on. And I'm looking at my wife, and she's looking at me, and I'm feeling like a total dunce, because you're in yeshiva all the years. And I'm thinking, why am I thinking I should take the challah cover off? And I'm standing there, and I take out a halacha sefer, and my wife's waiting. And she's thinking, should I just tell him the blessing? Right? And I'm trying to think, what am I supposed to do, right? So I decided I'm going to do what I remember it says in halacha, and I made the blessing with the cover on. And then the way things go, I forgot to look it up till the next Shabbos came, and I'm faced with the same question. And then, a few weeks down the road, my brother was dating a Yekish girl, and she decided she wants to come to our house for a Shabbos meal. So at the meal, I asked her, I said, you know, is it a Yekish custom to take off the challah cover before you make the blessing? I figured she's coming straight from her Yekish parents' house. And it's Shabbos, so I just remembered, right? I faced my challah again. By the time Motzei Shabbos came, I forgot. And she goes, sure, my father always did that. Took off the cover and made the blessing on the challahs. And I didn't even notice. Right? Meaning, when I learned it, what registered was what I learned. When I finally got married and it came time to do it, I was about to do it, somewhere in my recollection, I had seen it home. And then I sat there with a contradiction. Wait, I remember learning this, and yet I saw that. Maybe I didn't see that. And I... So I'm saying this idea that the tribes developed customs that went with the tribe has to be broken down into a few realms. We have the Magen Avraham that tells us that we're different spiritually. We each have our own channel that goes up there. I don't know what happens with Gerim. Whether Gerim would align themselves with the tribe they would settle in, whether Gerim would find a natural connection to different tribes, or whether Gerim are what Rav Kook describes as the Neshama Kolelet, that Gerim have, just like there's a third channel that's more encompassing, maybe they also have a soul that's more encompassing. What? Don't know? Show me. I don't know. The other source of different customs is because it says in the beginning of Pashat Shofetim that when we would set up a judicial system, and as we're learning in the Drashot Aran on Fridays, the judicial system is responsible for halachic ruling as well. So each tribe had their own high court. Each tribe had their supreme court. So that could mean that the supreme court of the tribe of Dan ruled one way. As we find that in the times of the Mishnah, you had cities that had different customs. In the city of Rabbi Eliezer ben Hyrcanus, they would desecrate Shabbos to make the knife to do a circumcision on Shabbos. They would manufacture the knife on Shabbos. And we hold that if someone does that, they get the death penalty. You can do circumcision on Shabbos. You can't manufacture a knife to do circumcision on Shabbos. But Rabbi Eliezer holds you're allowed to. And in his town, they did like him. So he was the rabbi. He was the chief rabbi of that town. By the same token, it seems logical that each tribe had their high court, so then they would develop their own customs. That could happen. It's logical, and that the customs would go in line. I have the Arizal that gives me a source on prayer, and this idea of the separate courts that gives me room to think. I don't have proof, but it gives me room to think that there might have been different customs among the tribes. Yeah? I would add that some customs develop as a response to a weakness. Meaning sometimes we realize we have challenge A or B or C, so we have this custom. The custom is reflective of our nature. And it could be that just like the different tribes have different strengths, they also have different weaknesses. And that would be another reason why the rabbis of a certain tribe might have seen it necessary to institute custom A or B or C to deal with the weaknesses of their tribe, whereas the tribe next door didn't have that challenge. And that's something which we see repeatedly. So that could be. So that would make sense. Yeah.